What's up, Dialed fam? Happy Wednesday and welcome to the Strength Training for Cyclists podcast by Dialed Health. My name is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and operator of Dialed Health, and I'm coming to you live from the studio, which is normal, but what's not normal is the fact that they're exploding stuff directly behind the studio. I kid you not, there's construction going on, and there's these huge slabs of granite in the ground. I am in Granite Bay, and they're drilling, which is insanely loud. And then there's some time that goes by before you hear a warning horn, which is super loud. And then in what seems at like a completely random time interval, it's just the biggest boom you could imagine. Earth rattling just deep in your soul. It sounds like a bus fell on the roof of my building, boom. And the last one happened when I was in the bathroom taking a leak. And that's the closest part to the actual construction. And when that boom went off, I might have missed the toilet for a second. I'm just throwing that out there. It's a freaking mess in there. I can't even go back in. Good thing there's not actual sessions happening in my studio because no one else can see what really went down. In fact, they are exploding stuff so close that the construction guy came and closed my back door because he was worried that something would honestly fly in. So that's what I'm dealing with. If you hear anything insane behind the scenes, that's what's going on. Okay, nothing dysfunctional, just some good old-fashioned explosives going off. So anyways, that was all my disclaimer for what I think is going to be a really fun episode. We're doing a Instagram Q&A, and it's going to be rapid fire style. So I put out a question box on my story last week on Instagram and just said, ask me anything. Nutrition, riding, personal, strength training, obviously, whatever you want. And I got like 40 something questions, maybe even a little more. And I answered about half of them on that story. But I figured today I would just run through the whole list with you guys. Rapid fire, we'll get out some cool, fun, quick, concise answers for you on a very wide variety of topics. So I hope you enjoy it. And then after that, we're going to go into a business update and let you know what's going on my schedule this week, because there's some interesting new things that will affect the Dialed fam, which is really exciting because they're good. I should probably put that out there. They're really cool things happening. And I'm just I'm stoked to tell you about kind of the new momentum I feel like I've gotten back into. Before we go into all that, I got a quote with you. I really like starting the episodes with a quote, and I think I might keep including it into the intro. So I got two for you. You ready for this? The first one, your setback might be a setup. Come on now. Your setback might be a setup. I have experienced that so many times in life where I go for something, it doesn't happen, or something just full on happens to me that feels like a major setback. But in reality, it makes you kind of recalibrate, refocus, maybe dig a little bit deeper into something that was affected, and then you're able to come back stronger, meet a new opportunity that maybe you wouldn't have been ready for if you hadn't experienced that minor setback. So it's a great way to look at it, and it just rings so true to me. So remember, your setback might be a setup. Stay encouraged on that one. Now, the next one is rejection is God's protection. Or rejection is the universe's protection. You know, for me, I'm a believer in God, so this was another thing where I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many times at least for myself, I'm going for things actively. I feel like I'm pushing. And I'm the guy who's like, you know, if you don't ask, it's for sure a no, so you might as well ask. I ask for stuff all the time, and I'm a big believer in it. Obviously, you gotta respect people's boundaries, but, you know, when you do get that rejection, which I've felt on so many levels over the past few years, working in my studio, starting the studio, everything with Dialed Health, all the website stuff, it's like you get rejected and you full on will just have people tell you that they don't like your product, they don't like you personally, they don't believe that your idea is legit or actually resonates or is like a money-making thing. And for me, a lot of it has to come back to business because that's just what I'm so tied into right now. So you feel this rejection, but then there's times too where maybe something like that falls through that you were excited for. And then a couple months later, you realize, whoa, I'm so happy that didn't happen because it would have prevented this, this, and this. Or, oh my gosh, like that partnership, like look where the company went or this, whatever happened. So it's really interesting. And the reason I'm sharing these two quotes is that because I think they really go hand in hand. You know, rejection is God's protection. Rejection is the universe's protection. That rejection was a setback that actually might be a setup. So keep that in mind. If there's something that's coming to your mind right now, stay encouraged because those are very real. I'm not going to just spit it out there if I don't believe it. I've experienced it, and I know you probably have too. So your setback might be a setup. Rejection is God's protection. Let's get into this episode. All right, we're jumping straight into the Instagram Q&A. And I'm gonna give you a warning though. I have not literally looked at, I'd say, a good amount of these. Maybe a third of them I have not even looked at. I've answered another third, and the other third I've kind of skimmed over. So keep that in mind if it takes me a second to kind of find my footing. But I'm just gonna hit you with the straight off the dome response. First thing that comes to mind. Hopefully I don't contradict myself too much. So first question is from @Grant727. He says, do you offer strength training for triathlon? The answer, Grant, yes, I do. I don't have an official triathlon program. And I will be honest, I don't know if it's more of a, if it helps the website more than it hurts the website or vice versa, but labeling certain programs as just the road program or just the XC program is tough because although it gives people guidance to what to start, it also is conflicting when you do recommend the XC program for a downhill racer, or you tell the triathlon person to do the road program because they're like, well, I'm not really a roadie. But the truth is, depending on your circumstance, it can be a really great fit, like anything. Even the general functional fitness program, or the no equipment program, there's so many variables to picking a strength program that although I love the initial direction that the programs who are, you know, they're really built for that style of rider, but it doesn't mean they can't work with someone else. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. And what I'd recommend for the, if you do triathlon, is probably the road program because it's really based on the idea that you're doing a lot of volume. I don't really think anybody does more volume than triathletes. I mean, your guys' training schedule is out of control. So what you're looking for is really something I feel confident in, which is minimalist style strength training. 2 days, total body strength, get it done, stay activated, but don't overdo it so you can actually attack your run, bike, and swim workouts the way you want. Next question, @Nick_Natoli. He says, any tips for a skinny person trying to get big muscle-wise? Yeah, you should track your food, eat 1 gram of protein per 1 gram of body weight for one... See what I mean about finding my footing? Here we go. You need to eat 1 gram of protein per 1 pound of body weight. Thank you very much. And you need to be strength training at least 3 days per week. Now, this is tough for some people who ride a lot because it can be very taxing. But remember that a lot of time on the bike and really big muscle building is kind of conflicting. So you have to prioritize what's most important to you. If you can still absolutely gain muscle and have it support your riding, but there could be a point where there's a little bit of a trade-off. You know, maybe you can't ride as much because of the fatigue that you're experiencing trying to build the muscle, because you really do need to be strength training at least every few days. You know, even 4 days a week could be more ideal. So typically I refer people to my general functional fitness program and then maybe have them add an extra day of core or extra rounds of upper body to up the volume. But once you make sure you hit that minimum of 3 days of strength training per week, you just got to eat. You got to hit your protein and you have to be in a calorie surplus because your body needs those extra calories to really help grow the muscle fibers and just, you know, quote unquote, put on that muscle you're looking for. Now, @John Yetter, he says, what's the best pre and post ride stretches? The best one is to do anything because most people listening aren't doing that right now. So I promise you, you could just flail your body around in the parking lot of wherever you're starting your ride or your home, and you'll probably notice an improvement. I kid you not. Swing your arms, swing your legs, and you're gonna feel a little bit better. But no, to be honest, what I'll say is, I'm not going to say a specific stretch, but I'm going to give you a style of stretching, because of course that you hear, oh, you shouldn't static stretch before a workout and you don't get your tendon stiffness and your elastic response and this and that. Okay. Science. I hear you, science. But here's what I would recommend. So you have three types of stretching. To really generalize it, you have dynamic stretching, active stretching, and static stretching. Again, just to generalize it. So there's more than that, but we're gonna stick with these three because they're, I think, the most useful to come back to. Now, dynamic stretching is constant movement, so you never stop moving. It literally is like you doing big arm swings, arm circles. Almost imagine like Michael Phelps before getting in the pool. He's just flailing his arms around. That's dynamic stretching. You have active stretching, where you hold a stretch for no more than 2 to 5 seconds. So let's just say it's your hamstrings. You reach down toward your toes, try and touch them, 2 to 5 seconds, you come back up. Those first two options, dynamic and active stretching, are most likely ideal for your pre-ride. So any body part that you feel like you need to be loosened up, I'd recommend back, hips, shoulders. I would go for a dynamic stretch, which is constant movement, or a 2 to 5 second hold, which is active stretching. Now, the third option is static stretching. That's what I would recommend post-ride. You want to hold a static stretch for at least, in my opinion, 30 seconds, because you want to override what's called your Golgi tendon organ response, and that's your body fighting a stretch. When your body starts to feel a stretch, it wants to naturally stiffen up and kind of tense up and contract to protect itself from being injured or overstretched. So you want to get past that point where that response is happening, which is usually 20 to 30 seconds. I say 30 seconds to be on the safe side. I'm going to be honest, if you really want to lengthen tissue, 90 seconds, 2 minutes, up to 5 minutes. And I'm not trying to be too extreme on you, but that 2 minute sweet spot is a game changer. You're going to notice so many more results. If you have like tight hamstrings and tight glutes and you really feel it post ride, you're feeling it pull on your low back, get down there and hold a stretch for 90 seconds. It's not that big of a deal, but people really don't want to do it. I'm sorry, I'm getting all agitated here, but it works. So hold a stretch. You want to make sure that you are relaxed. You want to make sure that you feel the stretch, obviously, but you don't want to push it so hard that you have to tense up and you can't relax. So that's the sweet spot in stretching. You should feel it, but it should be light and you should be able to fully relax. Okay, next question. Should I grab a little water? Okay, hang tight with me. Elevator music. All right. The question is from at the Dan Sousa. He says, any interest in gravel? Yes. I do have an interest in gravel. I would love to have a gravel bike. I don't see myself riding it all the time, but to do one-off events, like the Belgian Waffle Ride got me fired up last year, watching all the stuff from that, especially that single track section at the end. Come on now. Like it just looks really fun. And as someone who has a big history in downhill racing and all things gravity mountain bike, I really spend most of my time on my road bike now, just purely because of lifestyle and all that stuff, I think it'd be a really fun, cool fit for me. But the truth is, like, where I live, it's funny, but you would really have to go out of your way to ride gravel. And I'm also still at that point where if I was gonna make that effort to go be on some sick gravel route, then I might as well go mountain biking at that point. So that's like my problem with it right now. Yeah, but anyways, I am interested in gravel. It's a freaking rad sport. The bikes are cool. Bike packing is good. Shout out to Fernwee, who's doing all sorts of gravel, just like epic events and the bike packing and the touring. He's really inspiring me to get out there. So it's a rad sport. I hope it really keeps like growing the way that it is. And you know what? Okay, on that topic, do you guys also think, like, I'm just curious. I was thinking about this the other day. Gravel seems like it's growing a lot and getting big, but it is still, it's like such a niche thing because it's hard for people who don't ride, I think, to understand gravel racing, kind of. You know, you can kind of get the idea of just racing on like farm roads and fire roads, but when you kind of show it and it looks like a road bike, but it's on dirt, but it's not mountain biking, but it's not road biking, you know what I mean? It's like people who already ride understand it, but outsiders don't. And I think that's kind of a problem just with general growth. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Is it going to really blow up? Or is it just going to stay this like niche thing that really experienced, trendy, cool bikers get into? I don't really know. Okay, next question. Tibial plateau. Oh, I'm sorry. This is from at @Austin_pace. Tibial plateau fracture ACL strain recovery tips. Okay, so plateau, this is might actually discredit me. I feel like you wanted to say patella, but I'm not 100% sure. Plateau fracture, is that a style of fracture? I actually don't know. I have had my ACL completely torn before, and that really sucks. It was actually, I think 2009 or 2008, I had mine done, and it's insane how much faster recovery times are now. You know, I was pushing my recovery to be basically on my bike in 4 months, but now people are on their bike in like a month or two. It's insane with ACL stuff. So the biggest thing in recovery that I would say is obviously you have to really train your stability when you come back, because that's what your ACL really provides, is like a lot of stability. So start doing a lot of hip work, do a lot of band work for your lower body. A lot of single leg balance work is a great idea, but you have to pick things that are pretty easy to start out with. You can't, you know, strain it too much. You can't twist and turn, and you really have to fight for that stability too much. You just got to keep it activated. So those are the exercises that you want to do. But really, I would say make sure you're working the rest of your body. Don't forget, you have an upper body, you have a core. There's a lot you can do besides, you know, this crazy, crazy lower body workouts. In fact, we'll get into it later, because there's another question like this. But just remember, just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you can't do anything. And I think that's something I hear a lot from people, is like, oh, my shoulder hurts, I just can't strength train. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And I know, Austin, you're not saying that right now, but this is something as a trainer I experience a lot. So just throwing that out there. Just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you can't do anything. Next question is from, I just switched my page real quick. Hold on, we're going back. Next question is from at tony.marango.tribe. Are you going to race this upcoming Good Red MTB race? I don't really know what that is. Sorry, Tony. Okay, next question. At KLG_1984. What about a 36-year-old who is 5'10", 260 pounds, getting down to 200 in a year? Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, the thing is, there's so many variables to why you could or couldn't do that. You know, you're basically talking about losing 60 pounds in a year. You're 5'10", so getting down to 200 pounds, unless you have an insane amount of muscle, which you might, it's not like you're getting that. I don't want to say you're not getting that lean, but you're not getting like so shredded that you're going to have to really keep changing the game up. The thing with losing body fat is that you have to do more as you get further along. But to go from 260 to 200 at 5'10", most likely you could just lock in some really solid lifestyle habits and probably roll with the same diet for a while, because at that point you're still going to be in the high teens body fat most likely. And until you really get to the mid teens, you don't have to start making more specific tweaks. At least in my experience of helping a lot of people through this process, even myself personally. So yeah, if you go to the Dialed Health Shred journal entry that has all the basically guidelines there for you. You have to be a member to view it, but it literally writes out the whole program for you. If you do it and you stick to it, I would be very surprised if you couldn't accomplish that in a year. I think that time frame is cool because it's a push, but it's realistic. But it's not so realistic that you can chill. You have to be on your toes, and that's like the perfect balance, I think, for a lot of goals. You want it to be hard enough to where you can't check out for a week, but you want it to be realistic enough to where you feel confident you can accomplish it. So I think going from 260 to 200 in a year, yeah, heck yeah, dude. People have done way crazier transformations. And not to discredit you, but I say freaking go for it. Follow the Dialed Health Shred protocol, reach out to me and I'll help you through it. Okay, next question. At Septian Seya, I have no idea how to say that one, says, how do you deal with cycling neck pain? Any workout recommendations? Okay, you ready for this one? So there's a couple things involved here. First off, you need to regularly release your upper traps. I would use a barbell or a lacrosse ball. So your upper traps, it's that sick muscle you want to flex when you're just punking some fools at the bar that are trying to step on your turf and fight you. You just flare up those shoulders and you get those traps going and you get the neck veins going and you scare them off. So we all want to make sure we know what that upper trap muscle is. So, you know, we should actually, I'm going to give you a quick anatomy. If you look at someone's back, and I'm serious, no more jokes. So if you look at someone's back, you see where their shoulder blades are, okay? You can all imagine the back of someone's head, the back of their neck, and their shoulder blades, right? So basically you have your lower, mid, and upper traps. If you looked right in the center of their, actually let's start with the neck down. So you go from the neck down, those muscles I was just joking about, those are your upper traps. You want to release those. Great. Get a lacrosse ball, dig it in there, take a barbell, smash it down, use a Theragun, hit it, get a massage. Those are the muscles that you want to make sure don't get overly tense, because it's very easy for them to on the bike. That's totally normal. Just stay on top of it. Now you move down the back and you go right between the shoulder blades. You have your mid traps. So this is like a muscle that retracts your shoulders or pulls them back together. So think of your upper traps allows you to elevate your shoulders, like pulls them up toward your ears. And then mid traps allows you to pull them back and retract your shoulder blades, kind of like squeezing them together. Then you have your lower traps, which is basically what allows your traps to depress, or your whole shoulder blade to pull back down to the ground. So if you go and elevate your shoulders, so you shrug up and then you pull back down and get in that nice, good shoulder packed posture, you should be using your lower traps for that. So when you do a back workout, let's just say a row, for example, you want to make sure you set your shoulders and that your mind muscle connection is focused on using your lower traps. So the lower part of that where your shoulder blades are, you want to try and feel it as much as you can there. And so what you're doing is you are releasing the tension from where you're probably experiencing your neck pain, and then you are strengthening the muscle that should hold the shoulders in to get in place, so that you basically aggravate your neck less during a ride. That's like the snowball effect we want. We want to release the top, strengthen the bottom, and then you're able to set your shoulders there more often in a ride position. It's more autonomous. You don't have to think about it. And now you don't end up in that shrug position as much, experiencing as much neck pain. Again, I'm assuming that's why you're experiencing it. That's typically why I do. So make sure you try that out. Okay, next page, page two. We are keeping it moving. We have a question from @SimonSaysMX. It says, if you had to, would you, oh, I already answered this one. Would you rather out train a bad diet or have a better diet and train less? Okay, the answer is I would rather out train a bad diet because I love Oreos and I also love Reese's Puffs and Pop-Tarts, okay? I love chicken, fried chicken and waffles, okay? But you know what? Here's the sad truth for you. You cannot out train a bad diet. You can't, especially when you're a big eater like myself. Like, I'll tell you, if you're a natural ectomorph, you are, they call it, quote unquote, a hard gainer. You have a hard time gaining weight, gaining muscle, any type of weight, then you're kind of the exception to this rule. I am not a hard gainer. I am more so like a mesomorph, endomorph. I put on weight very easily, but I think a lot of it has to do with my lifestyle. So for one, I think it's kind of an advantage. And if you are similar, I want you to look at it this way, because most likely you don't have a problem refueling after rides because you eat too much to begin with. So that in a way is an advantage from people who undereat and don't refuel as much. And also you have the ability to put on muscle a little bit easier, which is kind of nice. And again, it's not easy to put on muscle to begin with, even for those people who have that advantage. So I think if you can control your diet, you're going to be maybe in a better place. But you know, there's a lot of people like me who just wish they could eat it all. So I've been there and I've tried, but remember, you guys, I can eat. Let's just use this Ben and Jerry's example. It's perfect. Okay. One pint of Ben and Jerry's, half a pint. Let's talk about half a pint of Ben and Jerry's. That is nothing. Okay. We all know, I know you're listening to me right now saying, I wish I could stop at half a pint. And some of us can. I've done it before. I could maybe count on the on one hand the amount of times I've stopped myself from eating a whole pint. But it's not that big of a deal to eat it, right? Half a pint of Ben & Jerry's is 600 calories. You know it's going to take me probably closer to an hour to burn 600 calories. You know, maybe 45 minutes, maybe a little less if I'm going nuts. But think about that. I can eat half a pint of ice cream in 5 minutes, no problem. Not even a struggle. In fact, I have to slow myself down intentionally not to do that. Okay, so think about how fast it goes in and how hard it is to burn off. You cannot outdo it. You know, if you've tracked your food and you're doing like the Dialed Health Shred, you'll see very clearly, oh my gosh, like even when I eat healthy, if I'm not tracking, my portion size just gets out of control because it's so easy to overdo calories. So in my opinion, I love this question because it's fun to answer, but there's not even a real answer to that. I mean, or there's not even a debate. You can't out train a bad diet. And here's the thing, even if you did, okay, even if you really wanted to out train your bad diet, it would be so stressful on your body because now you're just eating more junk food, which isn't ideal. A little bit, probably good for your mental health, spills over to overall health. You know, I still eat that stuff, but if you are eating it with the idea that you're just going to out train it, then you're probably going to push yourself harder for workouts or choose workouts that maybe aren't optimal and you're just doing them because you want the calorie burn and they're maybe not as effective for you. And now you're in this cycle of trying to work harder, but then you're eating more and then you just feel that's so much stress on your body. It's stress on your intestinal system. It's stress on just your general nervous system, just all the workout and the workload and the combating stuff. Like you have you're basically training harder and you don't have a diet that supports it. So think about that for a second. I don't even want someone to tell me they can out-train their diet. If that's how it is for you, you're just an ectomorph. Is there another way? I don't think so. Little sip here. Here we go. Now, next question. At Brad_D, he says, Trainer Road group rides with Dialed Health members. You dig it? Yes, I do dig it. You know what? If I can add that to my schedule, I absolutely will. I think that's a freaking sick idea. Shout out Trainer Road. At Chad Tempo 225, my man Chad, he says, how important is stretching? So I answered this one on the Instagram story, and think of it this way. Stretching, how do we want to say this? Now, cycling predominantly produces overuse injuries. Stretching combats overuse injuries. So you tell me, is stretching important? Yes, it's extremely important because we're just in a especially if you're on the road side of things, you know, when you're on gravity, there's more lateral forces, you're using more total body, different muscle groups. But for the most part, we're all doing a very repetitive motion. And when you are using the same muscles over and over and over again, dude, you gotta lengthen them back out. This is like the yin and yang. You gotta do the opposite to let that muscle relax a little bit. It's just part of recovery. And it makes me think of my Instagram post about why strength training is like improves your cycling. I think that'll be a whole episode we're gonna cover and just very clearly say it all. And that's gonna be one of those things we talk about in there. But yes, basically cycling is very common to have overuse injuries in cycling. Stretching helps prevent overuse injuries. So yes, you should stretch. At Victor M. Ramos, he says, will you bring back personal training? So he's talking about, this guy actually lives in my neighborhood. Shout out to Victor, who rode by my house when I was on my indoor trainer, and he was on a road ride with his wife. So it made me sad I wasn't out on the bike, but it was super cool. I mean, to see the Dialed fam out just anywhere, I get really pumped. But yeah, will I bring back personal training? No, probably not. I think, you know, I love it. I love training people in person, and it's been tempting. It's crazy now too, because I'm in this position where, you know, the online is really moving forward, and it's ultimately been my long-term goal for a while, just because of the scalability, the reach, the impact. It's what you can build is like, it's basically unlimited. But with my in-person training, I just kind of hit the ceiling of it, and I loved it, but I'm such a person that's about growth that I felt like I was really holding myself back from not just my own potential, but my value that I can provide to the world. You know, just to be 100% real, you get to a point where something feels easy that, you know, you need to check yourself and wonder, okay, am I really, is this blessing in turn being, am I being blessed and having it be a blessing to others? You know, you are blessed to be a blessing. Basically what I'm trying to say is, I'm at a point now where it's getting a little cushy. It's getting a little comfortable. Am I actually spinning this blessing around and putting it back to others? I don't know if you are at that point, to that level. Maybe. I don't think everyone is really meant to just kind of like keep up with this forward motion. So it's probably individual. It's just how I feel. But yeah, I really got to that point with personal training where I just was like, wow, this is sick. I am impacting people's lives. But, you know, also this is going to be kind of it. There's not much more that's going to come from it. And that was tough for me. But I will say, I'm not a plan B kind of guy. But I hate to say it, if the website didn't work for some reason, it's nice to know that worst case scenario, I'd probably be in-person training again. That's pretty cool to know. There's so much demand for it right now, especially with COVID. People just want to get back in gyms and they can't. And it's, I don't know. And it's really cool. But the growth with Dialed Health is, a lot of it's been local, even through the online platforms and the members and the Instagram following and all that stuff. So there's a lot of demand. Like a lot of people want to come in the studio and work out, which is sick. So it's cool to know it's an option there. But for those reasons, no, I don't really think I'm going to bring it back. Next question. The Dan Sousa. He says, how do you say no to social activities to make sure you train? Oh, man. Dude, this is a funny one because, you know, I miss spending some time with friends, but I don't know. How do I say no? This is one of those ones, you guys. I'm dragging my feet. I wasn't prepped for it because I do miss time with my friends, but I don't know if it's the family. What is it? I mean, why don't I care that much? I wish I had a really clear answer for you. I will say, here's the deal. When I got very focused on my goals and knew exactly what I wanted, just for myself, for my life, it became easy to cut out the things that weren't as important. And that's why I don't want to say that, because it makes me sound like I don't value like my friends. But the truth is, you know, the people I see and have become a lot closer with now are people I usually go ride with. And they're people, they're just a little bit more like-minded. Like, to be honest, I have changed a lot from a lot of my friends just over the years. You know, I'm like in my late 20s, about to be 30, and there's been so much changes. So it's like I'm lining up friendships with the things that really support my overall goals, which is riding, which is working with people as a part of Dialed Health. It's, you know, a lot of times lining up schedules with kids and stuff like that. So it became easy to just put up the blinders and be like, you know what, if it's not Dialed Health, my family, or bike riding, then I'm going to really have to consider why it's important for me to do. And that's kind of how it's become easy to say no to like certain social activities, I guess. I don't know, dude. I feel like such a lame, like, feel like a quality lame-o for saying it like that. I'm social. I love being around people. I love a good old-fashioned party, getting out there and drinking some brews, shotgunning some classic shots. I love it, dude. But it's a little bit off from my focus right now, and that's why it's an easy no. So I would just say, get clarity on what is the most important thing for you to do, and then do those things, and then ask yourself if you can still fit it in. You know, if I didn't have a family, yes, I could absolutely fit it in. I could probably play video games, which I'm really not down with, but you know, when when I see these guys like playing, you know, Call of Duty, and you know, I don't know. I'm in my head, I'm like, literally, how do you have time for this? Like, but then again, I'm like, wow, I have kids. I have toddlers. I'm running this business and stuff. And it's not, I'm not saying it's better or worse. I'm just saying I've just set my life up in a way where social time like that is, it's really hard to do if it's not part of the program. Sounds very selfish, but you know, I will be honest. I just don't feel bad because I know that it, my family's the most important, and I'm starting to like, you know, just ramble on about this a little bit, but yeah, if it doesn't really support my like my real, real focused deep goals, it's kind of an easy no. Okay, so let's move on. At Andrew T. Barron, he says, how to count calories when working night shift. Same exact way as you count calories when working day shift. You track your food, you prep when necessary. It's probably harder. I would assume that it's more difficult, but saying you can't is a big fat excuse. That's 100% true. Do you get breaks? Maybe. Do you have to just prep your food more? Possibly. Do you have to maybe track a certain food and then eat that food every single shift just so you don't have to track it? You know what I mean? Like, there's ways around it. So it's really the same stuff people deal with in the daytime, no different. You just might not have that last minute convenience, and you might have to be a little bit more organized than someone who works a standard day shift. Okay, quick sip of water. Next question. At Josh S 2007, he says, have you jumped on the Whoop bandwagon or no? Seems like a lot of people are. Curious on your thoughts. Oh man, funny timing on this one. I'm all about it, but I don't wear one. Two reasons. I wear a watch every single day. I don't know if I can add that to my swag, dude. I don't know if I can add it to my style. I'm going to be real. I've considered even the, what's the ring? I'm forgetting the name of it right now, but there's a ring that almost does the same thing. But okay, the Whoop branding, the clarity on your body that the Whoop gives you is insane. What I've really considered with the Whoop lately, even, you know, because I'm like, do I wear something on both my wrists? I'm not really an accessory guy. I'm not giving up my watches. I don't know. I want like a little anklet or something under the profile, or like more low profile. But that's honestly what's kind of held me back from wearing a Whoop. I know that sounds super lame, but I've been wanting to wear one lately because my sleep is so effed up right now with the twins. And even there's nights where I'm like, man, I feel like I slept for a long time. Like I was in bed from 10 to 6 or whatever. But because I'm waking up throughout the night and sometimes we're up for 45 minutes at a time, I don't really know how much I slept. So there's just, I'm coming across that and I'm like, wow, it'd be really helpful to have that data. But also I'm just forcing myself to train through it right now. So I'm sure there'd be a lot of days where I'm just in the red, just training. But like, I don't know what to do. What else do I do? It's just, the thing is, like, I'm in this very weird temporary time with these toddlers and infants right now. So I'm just being easy on myself, but I have been very interested to hear about the sleep data. And also, like, you're just looking at another metric. So even if you don't have some weird life scenario like I do right now, it's not the data itself that makes you more informed. It's you interpreting the data and relating it back to how you felt that makes you more informed. You can have all those numbers, you can have all that, but unless you look at it and say, this says this, I felt like this, and you don't take that time to think about it, then how do you really make changes? Or how is it really effective at that point? So that's what I would say is, like, I think it's freaking cool. I say rock it. I think it's so dumb, it's the fashion thing. I think they look good. I do. I just am like, am I going to wear that and a watch? That's my problem. But I would say wear it. I'm all about it. I think they're sick. I really look up to the way that their growth is. Like the way Whoop has already gone as a business from, not only is the product very quality, but they've done such a good job of hitting endurance athletes and then expanding out into just everybody. Like the whole Fitbit crowd and everything. Like they're doing a really good job. So shout out to Whoop. I wouldn't say I'm completely on the bandwagon because I don't use one, but I'm all for it. And I'm considering it right now. I'm really on the fence. Next question is from @czar1232. I was like thinking I went dyslexic for a second. Czar1232. Okay. Says, what do you recommend for a broken heart? Czar, I'm really sorry to hear this question. It just brings me down. Because it sounds very sad. And I can't tell you because I've been with the same woman for the last 13 years. I don't really know. I wouldn't really say I've ever had a broken heart. Have I been bummed? I guess I had little girlfriends and stuff. But I started dating my wife, now wife, in high school. So I'm not really the one to go for. But here's what I will say in regards to relationship advice. Something I feel very confident about that I've talked with my wife about a lot. I think the best relationships are two people who are perfectly fine on their own, perfectly happy, and they really don't need the other person to fulfill anything of like high expectation for them. They don't. Like, they are cool on their own, and when they come together, they're even better. So that's what I would say. The best thing you could do to for a broken heart would be to do you. You know what I'm saying? Get that revenge bod going. Do the Donnell shred. No, just... It's no different than anybody. Be the best version of yourself and be confident in your own skin and being able to fly solo. And again, I haven't spent much time in my life flying solo, so I understand if you don't want to take this advice from me, but just from kind of witnessing other people and kind of paying attention to it. And also I will say, my wife and I, even at a very young age, like in our teens, you know, when she says she wants to move to SoCal, and I have no idea how I'm going to get to SoCal, I just said, go for it. And I encouraged her. And I said, if she doesn't do this, she'll resent me for not letting her or not letting her, you know, feel comfortable just doing whatever she feels like. Like the truth is, you should be able to both look at each other in the eye and be like, you can do whatever the heck you want. And you just better hope that they want to be with you and make sacrifices for you and the family. So I don't know. That's my experience. It's like you got to do you. They got to do them. And when you come together, that's when, you know, you start working together more. But yeah, do you. Okay, Matt Poole 13. I bet you guys weren't expecting that Dr. Phil section right there. So Matt Poole 13 says, how's your oldest son adjusting to having two new brothers? You know, he's doing really well now, but the first couple weeks, not so much. I think it was overwhelming because so much family was over. And obviously, there's no way he thought those twins were sticking around. You know, we have a lot of family with young kids, so there's babies in and out of our house pretty frequently. But I have a feeling there was a point where he was like, oh, this is for real. Like, these kids are staying. And he was getting bummed, you know, kind of throwing weird fits acting a little unpredictable, and he was always like gentle with the babies, which is really cool. But there's a point where even last week, we were both, my wife and I were both holding one of the twins, and he literally just came up and looked at us and pointed at us and said, "Down, down, down." He just wanted us to put the babies down to pick him up. So he still has those moments, but he's doing really good. I mean, he's, you know, we've taught him how to be quote unquote nice. So he walks up to the twins and like pets their head and he's like, "Hair." And he's like, "Nice." So he's being a good older bro and honestly really trustworthy. Like even if he runs in the room with like a spatula or something, we're confident that he's not going to just smack the twins. He seems to be very gentle, and we're trying to teach him the older brother stuff. You know, those are your brothers. Here's their names. Like, you know, you're the big bro that they got to look up to, stuff like that. So this next question is also from Matt Poole. He says, "If I watch one of your workout videos without a shirt on, do I automatically get stronger?" The answer to that is yes, or your money back guaranteed. Next question. At Wim Herms, he says, "Best way to treat IT band friction syndrome." The best way to treat it is to go to dialedhealth.com and do the IT band rehab routine. I can't remember which one I labeled it. I think it's a prehab routine. Go there and use the video. The biggest thing with IT band syndrome is that you have to do a three-step process, which is release. You know, you have to foam roll around the area with all the tight muscles that's pulling on the IT band. Because what you're going to see everyone say with IT band is like, "Oh, it's not the actual IT band that's tight." So here's the deal. Your IT band inserts below your knee and it connects up by your hip to your TFL. The TFL in your hip is like actual muscle that you can lengthen and stretch. So by working on that and releasing your TFL, it can release slack down the line. So it's good to address that, and it could relieve tension through the IT band. But also if you're like lateral quads, like all the muscles on the outside of your leg, lateral hamstrings get super tight, they can push on your IT band and cause that pain also. So for you to foam roll the side of your leg for your IT band is not necessarily like correct or incorrect. You're not actually lengthening the IT band itself. You're releasing all the muscles that are putting pressure on the IT band. So I just had to like clear the air with that one, because it's so annoying when people are like, "Oh, you're just, you're actually, have you heard of science?" I'm like, okay, yes. So like, let's look at the real goal. This does accomplish the goal. Anyways, so IT band syndrome, you want to start with the release. So that deep tissue release, use some kind of foam roll treatment, and then you want to lengthen. So pick a stretch. I would stretch your TFL. There's some really good stretches for the outside of your leg, like a pigeon stretch. There's a standing hamstring or IT band stretch. Again, we all do this in the video. And then you want to activate. So there's a few muscles you want to really focus on. I'd say the number one muscle being your glute medius and your hip. It's kind of like that booty shelf muscle, like on the outer upper part of your hip. And that's really provides a lot of stability for your leg. So do the clamshells, maybe use a band, do some single A stability drills. One thing you also want to make sure you have good activation of is your VMO. That's that teardrop muscle on the inside of your knee. Make sure that thing's firing. Make sure that your foot can be planted and you press through the ball of your foot. You feel your TFL. You're stabilizing with your glute med, and then your IT band can actually start, you know, healing. Because if you just stretch and don't activate those muscles, you're just going to temporarily relieve it without actually fixing the problem. Okay, next question is, this is from at ETP. HHM77 ETF77. He says, "What's the first conditioning workout I can do for mountain biking?" If you're talking about strength training, dude, my no equipment HIIT program. If you want a conditioning workout, do a total body strength workout that includes a lot of mobility. That's ideal. You know, you don't have to overcomplicate it. That's why programs are so nice, because you can just kind of follow along. But at the same time, just think, your conditioning should come from bike riding. That's how you get the fastest. You get the fastest from doing all of your conditioning work on the bike and then doing the strength work that supports it, all the mobility work off of the bike. If you're in a bind, if you can't ride as frequently as someone who can do 4, 5 days per week or whatever, 3 days per week, then that's when you want to opt for more conditioning workouts in the gym. And then at that point, it's really just about minimal rest, keeping your heart rate up, and picking movements that serve the purpose, which is functional, a lot of mobility. So again, you could use the no equipment HIIT program, but what I would recommend is making sure that you're doing a quality amount of conditioning on the bike. Next question, at Bobo_wheels. He says, best tip for first time XC race. Oh man, you know what? I have a buddy, shout out to Dowd fan member, Chaz Halbert. That's my XC guy. Oh, you know what? Alex Wild too, shout out to you. I should really be giving him some credit. You know, those would be the dudes to ask. I've done one XC race in my life and I was full on enduro bro at the time. And looking back at it, it's kind of embarrassing. You know, I redlined in the first 10 minutes and blew up and didn't have the right gear and it was pretty pathetic. Obviously this was a few years back. I feel way more confident going into an XC race now. So I don't really know what to say to you because I haven't done it myself. So I would go on Instagram and DM Alex Wild or Chaz Halbert. You can find them on my friends list. Look at this. I kid you not, I did not even plan this. The next question is from Chaz Halbert. He says, oh man, I guess this isn't too suggestive, but he just says, let's talk about coconut oil. You know what? I'm going to pass on that one, Chaz. Okay. This is one of my closer buddies. There's definitely an inside joke there. We're not even going to get into it. I'm going to pass on that one. Okay. At Q_Simon_77. Quincy, my man, what's happening? He says, what does your perfect day without bikes of the or the gym consist of? Oh, man, that's a good question, dude. That's insane. I did not even see that one last time around when I did this for the Instagram thing. What does my perfect day without bikes or gym consist of? Oh, man, perfect day. You know what? Gosh, this is so corny, but I think about the day I proposed to Lish, and I'm telling you, sometimes I say stuff, and I just feel like such a pathetic loser. The day I proposed to my wife was honestly freaking sick, and it was not involving bikes or gym, so it was active. I would definitely, I'll tell you, blanket statement, it would be something active. You know, going to the beach, going paddleboarding, even going for a hike, those are all things that would have to consist of the perfect day. You know, if it's not bikes, if bikes were never in my life, I would be doing something else along those lines. I'd be outdoors. I'd be doing some endurance sport. I just love it too much. So, but what we did for my proposal day was we went snowshoeing, proposed while we were snowshoeing. We went back in town. This was in Truckee. In Tahoe, and then we got coffee. I had a photo shoot set up, actually. Not that I would want to do that every day, but then we went to a really sick dinner at a nice restaurant at North Star. It's up at the Ritz-Carlton there. It's called it starts with an M. Oh my gosh, I'm totally slipping on it. It's a type of tree that is local. All the locals are going to hate Manzanita. Thank you. Oh my gosh. It's called the Manzanita. And yeah, it was incredible. And then we came back and had a little party with family and drank some champagne and ate some chocolate covered strawberries. I mean, a day like that to me is perfect. Like, let me go outdoors. Let me be active. Let me eat good food and let me drink a little bit of alcohol. Hey, like, I'm just going to be real. That's going to be it. Oh, and coffee. It's got to include coffee. I just have to throw this out there. Coffee, you guys, to me is number one. I would literally, I am being very serious about this right now. I would give up any food or drink. Anything that I stick in my face hole would be gone before coffee. No questions asked. No questions. Why? What else is better than actual coffee, you guys? I mean, that's just me. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next page. So this is eating the right thing as serious as you show in the community? As is eating the right? Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, okay, here's the thing though. It's not about one food in particular. It's the whole package. I could literally eat perfectly one day and eat an Oreo. And that's because, like, long-term, quote unquote, perfect diet doesn't mean perfect restriction. It doesn't. You really can't look at one food as being unhealthy and that one food derailing your entire diet or making it good or bad, you know? So that is something we should point out and be clear about. But yeah, is eating the right things as serious as you show in the community? It absolutely is, because you literally are what you eat. and to control your weight, to control how you feel, to control your performance. So much of it comes back to nutrition, that it is absolutely as serious as I portray in the community. And that's why I do it, because it has so much impact on people. And my goal is to really change lives and to do it and to not, you know, beat around the bush. I'm not going to tell people that they shouldn't track their food, even though it's not a good fit for everybody. And I work with people who, you know, don't want to for one reason or another. But, you know, it's the most proven thing I've seen. So when I say something direct, like, you know, that your food does impact your life this much, it's because I mean it. It's because I want you to have results. And then when you do get results, then you spread the word about Dialed Health. And that makes me happy. So yeah, it is very important. Just don't narrow in on one food item. There is no one food item that makes your diet good or bad. It's the whole thing. Really, like, think about that for a little bit. Okay, next question. At Wisco Bikes Are Fast says, how long have you been living the Dialed Health lifestyle? I've been living the Dialed Health lifestyle since I was 18, I would say. Now, before that, I was riding bikes. So obviously that's part of the Dialed Health lifestyle. Even before that, you know, I grew up and my dad had me doing like push-ups and pull-ups. So I've grown up, really my dad was a mountain biker who did a lot of push-ups and pull-ups and was into fitness. And so that was my first real exposure to it. And so, once I got to the point where I was riding for Yeti, their national team, we had nutritionists, we had team trainers. I talk about it in the first episode of the podcast, The Story of Dialed Health. But that was the first spark where I really started digging into it myself, where I was like, oh my gosh, like, what do you mean I should eat tomatoes? I just remember this. I'm beating this story to death if you heard it on the other podcast. But basically, I got to a point where they put this list of food in front of me. And I just remember black beans and tomatoes. And I can't remember what the other foods were. But those stuck out to me. I was like, who cares if I eat that or not, you know? And that was the first time I had really thought about it. Because I, even though I grew up with those activities going on in my life, I ate the worst foods ever. And that was the first time, like my first attempt, literally, of eating vegetables and choosing to eat vegetables was putting the smallest amount of diced bell pepper in macaroni and cheese. Like Kraft macaroni and cheese, which I eventually swapped out for Annie's organic mac and cheese, which I felt great about. And then I added a little broccoli. Like it was total token veggies. You know what I mean? Like I could say that I ate veggies, but it was not even an eighth of the actual meal, which now it's like 50% of a lot of my meals. So the Dialed Health lifestyle started then, and it's been a very, very gradual progression. You know, after I started that at 18, and then I became an official personal trainer at 21, really dove into the fitness industry, got back into racing, brought it all together as Dialed Health, and now I'm almost 30, and we're doing it, man. I have a real philosophy behind what I'm doing, and I'm very confident in the program I have set up for people. So yeah, I would say it started back when I was 18, and now we're just full force swinging. And this is actually a great segue for the next question, because it's from someone I worked with I met at my very first training job, _Thomas_Kyles_. He says, can we train or what? That'd be sick, man. We need to train. But again, if you go back to the friends question I answered earlier, man, I'm making it tough for us to get together. I just had to cut myself off from answering any more questions because I looked down and realized I've been talking for 45 minutes and I'm not even halfway through. So I think we're gonna need to make this part one of two episodes for this Instagram Q&A. And I'm not sure if part two will be next week or the following week. As I mentioned in the beginning of the show, I really wanna do a podcast about this, kind of like expanding on the Instagram post of why strength training improves cycling. Very clear, very to the point, and probably the most fitting podcast episode for what the title of this show is, which is Strength Training for Cyclists. Because I know we talk very specific strength topics, but I don't know if I really just said this is why strength training is good for riding. Like we get pieces of it, and that's kind of why I even did that Instagram post, was because I knew, I was like, if someone could If someone asked me why does strength training help cycling, I could rattle off 100 different reasons, but I didn't have like a clear and concise elevator pitch or something just, yeah, with that short, effective clarity that people need to really digest something. So I want to do that episode, and we'll see if it's next week or the week following, but stay tuned. So thanks for understanding. We're going to get into the Dialed Health business update because there's some really cool stuff going on behind the scenes, and then we'll wrap it up. We're diving into a quick business update because there's a lot of good stuff happening with dialedhealth.com, really exciting new features going on, and I got to tell you about what's happening this week. So before we do, let me just say, I think I'm getting on top of my workflow since the twins have been born. Oh my gosh, it's been hard to figure it out, but I realized one of the biggest things that was causing me friction was the simple fact that I can't get as much done during each day. So there's a couple reasons for that. For one, I don't have quite as much time with my childcare because with the extra babies, it's a little more taxing. There's more organization of the schedule. And basically each day I've lost like an hour. Okay, just to be very tangible with you, I've literally lost an hour of childcare each day. Also, there's almost no chance I can get work done while I'm watching the kids because really up until the twins were born, Otto would still take a 2-hour nap every day. And you could almost count on it. And that would be just me sitting and doing emails or writing a newsletter or something. So that was also super helpful because if I came home early, obviously, almost every day I come home with my brain spinning about 10 things I didn't get done that day that I wanted to. But that gave me time to kind of, you know, sift through some of it and accomplish some of it, at least before I really shut it down for the day. And that just hasn't been happening because, you know, for instance, I had to get home early yesterday and I had all three kids to myself for almost 4 hours. And I kid you not, I didn't have more than a 5-minute window where one of them wasn't like needing something. And my son, I think he stopped taking his nap, which is a nightmare. I hope that was just a 2-day-in-a-row thing. But the last 2 days I watched him at that time, he did not nap. He drank his bottle and jumped right back out of bed. So I'm basically having to realize that I just cannot plan on working when I'm watching him at all. I just have to get that out of my brain. And so because I can't work as much with the less childcare each day, can't do stuff at home, I'm just going to work every single day. And honestly, I did that through this weekend and it helped out a lot. It makes every day kind of feel the same a little bit. But thankfully, I like my life. I love my job and I'm lucky on that front. But I can't think of another way for me to be at the productivity I want to be at, just to be really accomplishing what makes me feel like I'm doing my job well. And so up until now, although I would get content on the weekend, I wouldn't really work a lot. Like usually it consisted of big rides, but you know, I also go to church. Like I do spend more time with family on the weekend. I try and catch up on sleep a little bit if I feel like I'm lacking, and I don't like sleeping in, I really don't. But even if it means sleeping till 6 or even 7 or something like that, just to really feel fresh and relax a little bit, I like doing it. So yeah, that is something that I'm going to be changing and just adding. Like on Sunday morning, I came here for a few hours and it was awesome. I just had focused work, was able to catch up on emails and stuff like that. So yeah, I think the work day every week or working every single day is just going to help me out quite a bit. And that's kind of my plan. So back on top of the workflow, what's going on with Dialed Health is this Friday, we have a trainer coming in from the Bay Area. Her name's Katie Alton, and she's with Pursuit Strong. And she's an awesome strength coach who is a cyclist, and she's really, really knowledgeable on Olympic lifting. She's actually competed in powerlifting. I don't know if she's done an Olympic lifting meet. I'd have to ask her. But she really understands the barbell. And it's interesting because one thing I would say I lack in is that area. Although I can coach someone to do proper lifts, I'm very good with my positioning and movement and understand how people should do deadlifts and bench press and set their shoulders and yada, yada, yada. I am not someone who has really gone down that rabbit hole, really, like I have with kettlebells, for instance. Because truthfully, it just hasn't been that much of an interest to me. And also up until recently, I've really found that using the barbell too much could be a little conflicting for people. And so basically, I've been getting requests for it. People want to use their barbell. They want to do Olympic lifts. And I'm like, okay, what is it that's holding me back from providing this to people? And really, I hate to say it, but I think it was almost my own interest of being like, okay, I want to do this. How can I make it happen to where it's effective and still lies within the parameters of the dialed health mythology? Like the real like thing that gives us the results we want as cyclists, can we accomplish that with Olympic lifts and with power lifts? And I really believe the answer is yes. So I reached out to Katie. She's going to come in. We basically, she created a program that I'm editing through and making sure that it lines up with everything that Dialed Health believes. And it's going to be crazy because we're going to have another trainer on the website, and it's a badass, you know, woman that is just really living it like we all want to. So I'm stoked about that. And I think it really opens up the door to work with people who are experts in things that I'm truthfully not. And also, I think it's going to allow me to double down on things that I'm really good at, which is like kettlebells, for example. It's my favorite thing ever. And that's why we're going to be doing a kettlebell program as soon as this one's over. So stay tuned for that Olympic program coming soon to dialedhealth.com. And then it will be followed up by my kettlebell program probably a month later. But yeah, we're filming that this Friday. We have a mountain bike photo shoot directly after it. So it's just going to be a full-on Dialed Health day. We're going to film workouts. We're going to go ride our bikes. I'm freaking stoked. We're going to get a lot of content. Got a photographer coming out. So yeah, that should be awesome. And then this weekend, I'll be on Sonia Looney's podcast. And I don't know if that was a spoil that I shouldn't have said, but pretty excited to connect with her and kind of reach out to her audience and kind of just help grow the show. We booked another podcast for a few weeks out. And then there's a couple, I don't know, I don't want to say like partnership, but there's cool stuff brewing right now. There's new people wanting to get involved with Dialed Health. And I'm stoked about that. So we're swinging back into the month, and it just feels really good. So we're going to go to the outro, but that's kind of the update. You know what? I didn't tell you one of the coolest things. You guys, on the website now, you can go and see your tracked workouts, your reps and your weight and the date that you did it last under where you would track your normal workouts. So if you are someone that likes to input that information, you can actually see the three most recent tracked fields. I guess that would be right under, like, let's just say, for example, you have dumbbell bench press. Under that workout, if you've done it before, it would tell you the date, the amount of reps you did, and the weight you did it at. So you can reference it and use that to input your new info, you know, remember where you left off weight-wise, or even, you know, kind of help you choose a heavier weight if you wanted to, or like relate it back to the reps and make that decision. So it's like a level of coaching now that you're rewarded with if you are tracking your workouts on the website. So that is there. Go check it out. The forum, as of today, literally, I got off an email right before this recording. We have replies, official replies, because when we put the forum up initially for the Dialed Health Shred, and anyone who's been using the forum is going to laugh if you're listening right now, our first thing was like, let's throw it up and let's see if people use it. And you know what? People did. And at a rate where it became a mess so quickly because we didn't have a reply answer or a reply option. So you would have to basically do it in like a chronological feed. But if you tried to respond to somebody that was five messages back, it just became this cluster. And so now you're going to actually be able to respond. And what's crazy is that this is like the first layer into the community really interacting with each other, because once you get a responded message, you get a notification that's going to be on your dashboard. So now you'll be basically, you'll have a little notification that says, hey, someone responded to your comment, like go check it out on the forum. And then the next feature is obviously going to be able to tag people. And once you tag people, they're going to have profiles. So obviously now the opportunity to communicate with other Dialed Fam members and get to know people is going to be completely likely. Like it's going to be a real thing. So it's just the first step in that. But now it's going to make the forum someplace where you can really actively go and get some really cool content specifically for Dialed Fam members. Basically, the thing is, if you're not a member, you can see the forum. You just can't input on the forum. Like you can't include anything or really be a part of it unless you're a member. And that's kind of our filter right there. So that's super cool. The last thing, the calendar. This is the big one. We were pushing for a March 1st drop, but most likely it's going to be sometime in the week of March 1st. Most likely it could be March 1st still, but I'm kind of, you know, not putting a set deadline on it because it's a little bit of a push. But seriously, we're going to have the calendar. You're going to be able to schedule workouts. You're going to be able to drag in rides, which we're going to have preset options for you. And then obviously down the road, it's going to be trying to sync up all of your data onto our calendar. But for now, it's at least going to organize your workouts and help you build your calendar out. And then, you know what? I mean, I'm just throwing this out there because it's what I do. I'm very transparent. But the idea is, if we have other trainers on Dialed Health, they can support you and help you go in and use and look over your calendar and help you actually input the fields, like create a schedule. I can just go look at someone's schedule and push something in there for them, opposed to kind of guessing and going back forth on email, which again works really well, but we're just trying to take it to the next level. And as things scale and grow, obviously I'm not going to be able to do it all myself. I'm already experiencing that a little bit. So to have other trainers active on it and who understand what we're doing, and you know, it's so fun to think. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dialed Health Podcast. I really hope it adds some value to your week. If you are enjoying it, go to Google and leave me a 5-star rating with a review that just says anything positive about Dialed Health. Bonus points if it's specific to the website, but thank you for doing that because it's something I can't do for myself and really helps with just general first impressions of the business, someone finding it for the first time, even ratings and analytics stuff on Google. So thank you so much for making that happen. People have been leaving me reviews and I really do appreciate it. You could also leave me a review on the Apple Podcast app if you're listening on that app. 5 stars plus something, you know, positive about the show. It also is, like I mentioned it before, but for outsiders, it's one of the only metrics they can see to how well a show is doing engagement wise is about how many ratings they have, obviously what their rating is, and just the amount of comments. Like that's one of the only things at least I can see when I look at other episodes, because I look at other people to see, you know, if I want to try and be featured on their podcast or yada yada. And that's kind of what I look for. So if you could do that for me, that would be incredible. And I really, really appreciate it. That being said, start moving forward. I will see you next Wednesday.